Hi, this is Dark Journalist with an exciting breakthrough for part 5 of my New Age Deep State series for you. Now, the series focuses on the manipulation of the UFO, New Age, and secret space program research communities. And we've been covering a movement that grew out of Full Disclosure Now and became a 3-year disclosure marketing cult. The marketing promotion is the brainchild of self-proclaimed time-traveling astronaut Corey Good and his business partner Roger Ramsar. Today, one of their former associates is going to come forward, like Derek Faust did last week,
to give us an inside view of the dangers involved with not looking critically at the claims of this movement.
Her name is Annette O'Toole, and she runs the Ascending Starseed website. Let's go take a deeper look.
Now here's a recap of what we've learned in the first 4 episodes of New Age Deep State.
The Corey Good team has merged with a 3-year disclosure marketing plan that was to produce video games, comic books, and secret space program gear for a young adult audience. The plan's main focus was something called Corey's Kids, where young YouTubers would be recruited to present as experts on topics like the secret space program, and would build a marketing cult of blue avian believers who would show slavish devotion to Good and his time-traveling astronaut story. The plan would use derivative information from legitimate researchers and co-opt the topic into a jazzy marketing style, with Corey's Kids leading the way. The architect of the Corey's Kids marketing plan and the production of the Comic Disclosure comic book series was Corey's business partner, Roger Ramsar, who showed up in the UFO scene 1 year ago, heading up the Full Disclosure Now, or FDN network, under the name Emma Gold. Ramsar had kept himself out of the limelight until recently being more visible at Contact in the Desert. When I did a little research on the 3-year marketing group, I found out they were also planning to offer services, like counseling for those who would be dealing with emotional issues around disclosure, and also something called disclosure backpacks for children. This was certainly unusual. When Good and Ramsar discovered the factual report, they threatened legal action against me here at Dark Journalist for questioning the goals of the 3-year disclosure marketing plan. But an even more disturbing pattern of actions is starting to emerge. Actions that reveal the art of the steal. The following are 5 examples on record that demonstrate the appropriation of intellectual property by the 3-year disclosure marketing cult of Corey and Company. 1. Linda Moulton Howe. Now, as we reported in the last episode, Corey Good and Roger Ramsar had, without permission, used Linda Moulton Howe's name on banners advertising their new book, The Case for the Secret Space Program, at Contact in the Desert. Linda's response was clear, quote, "Linda Moulton Howe is not participating in any Roger Richards Ramsar, Emma Gold, Corey Good book project about a secret space program in the United States. Linda's name should not be used in any web, paper, electronic, conference, or other media related to promotion for a Roger Richards, Ramsar, Emma Gold, Corey Good project." The response from Good and Company was unapologetic. First, they blamed Dark Journalist, then a typo, then finally asserting that she was a part of the project. That wasn't true. Linda, again, had to set the record straight. This lack of taking responsibility is a recurring pattern around the 3-year disclosure marketing cult, as is the unprofessional action of appropriating others' intellectual property without permission. 2. Cliff High. Well-known internet personality Cliff High, famous for his excellent webbot trends tracking reports, expressed dismay that Good and the 3-year disclosure marketing group were stealing content from his reports and repurposing it for their Antarctica stories. To prove it, he intentionally put a test packet of information in a report to see if they would echo it. According to High, they did. Cliff High said, quote, "Lo and behold, I was able to source the echoes, and it turns out to be this marketing group behind this individual by the name of Corey Good. What they were doing was reading my reports and echoing the words back into their own audience and into their own marketing stuff. I ended up tracking it down to this Corey Good guy as the front end of this big giant marketing campaign." Unquote. 3. Dr. Joseph Farrell. Cliff High's statements were reminiscent of things said by Giza Death Star author Dr. Joseph Farrell regarding the strange wave of imitation he was seeing of his own Antarctica reports.
Well, yeah, I've noticed the same thing, Daniel. I'll come out with something and then I'll see what appears, and I've noticed it with other people that I know in this field as well. I have friends that have come up with some intriguing ideas, and then I see somebody else in the so-called alternative research community pick up on the idea, literally take it and recast it in this phantasmagoria of nonsense. I've noticed this many, many times.
Sensationalizing.
Yeah, they sensationalize it. I don't like it.
4. Jim Nichols. The pattern of imitation and disregard for the intellectual property of others was again noted by UFO expert and filmmaker Jim Nichols. When he saw his own artwork on the cover of Good's new book, Nichols made the following statement, quote, "In regard to the new book about secret space and the claims of Corey Good, although my artwork appears on the cover, I was never approached by the book's publishers for permission to use my art, which, in this instance, is totally unauthorized. As well, I want it clearly understood that use of my art should in no way suggest inference that I support and or endorse the SSP claims of Corey Good." Unquote. 5. The Object Reports Agent K. Agent K is one half of the team that runs the popular Object Report website that deals with UFO and secret space program topics. He recounts here his experience with Corey and Company. Quote, "In September of 2015, during the height of the internet buzz surrounding Corey Good and disclosure of the SSP, I wrote an article entitled Regarding the Secret Space Program and posted it on our website and blog. As part of that article, I created an illustration from scratch of a hypothetical design for one of these SSP cylinder-shaped spacecraft. My illustration was based solely upon the description of a photo of one of these crafts that Gary McKinnon gave. Gary describes the craft as a cylinder shape with 5 geodesic domes situated at each end of the craft, and that it was dark gray in coloration. My illustration depicts this arrangement, but everything else in the illustration, including windows in the docking bay, was speculative and straight out of my head. The article was picked up by Dr. Sala and reposted to his Facebook page. It was at this point that I reached out directly to Corey Good via his Sphere Being Alliance website and offered, for free, to work with him and his team on any illustrations or scene depictions they might need. I got zero response from him. Several weeks after contacting him and including the link to my SSP craft illustration, suddenly this illustration showed up on his website. Also this, which is still being currently used on his site. I'll let you be the judge here, but that illustration blatantly rips off my design, which, as I mentioned earlier, is based upon McKinnon's description along with my own artistic license. Here is my illustration. I posted my image in the comments section of his website along with a graphic pointing out all the design elements that were directly copied from it and asked him to provide credit to the source of his artwork. My comment was removed and I was totally ignored. This tells me 2 very important things. 1. He did not provide his artist with any description of what one of those ships looks like. He simply took my image and told them to make it look similar to this. To me, this is proof that he doesn't know what these craft look like and he probably has never seen one. 2. He is opportunistic and won't hesitate to steal artwork from other sources in order to promote his own agenda. To me, this is just more evidence that he's fabricating this entire story. Why rip off artwork from another source? I'm not happy that my artwork was essentially stolen with no credit given. Please feel free to share this information." Unquote. And I want to add here, Agent K holds no grudge against Corey Good, not even now. He just finds the actions of Good & Company and the 3-year disclosure marketing group very troubling and unprofessional. The response by Good & Company has been to blow off, distort, or try to talk their way out of taking responsibility for these actions. No public apologies, no acknowledgments of culpability, nothing. The marketing team seems set on deflecting responsibility to an unreasonable degree. In fact, their latest response is to ask their followers to contribute to a major fundraiser so they can shut down any outside challenges by using legal means. That appeal probably won't play so well to their crowd, who've seen the latest pool parties with the Corey's kids at a house donated by True Believers. The Corey kids are there to do rescue videos for Good. Good plans to name anyone who reveals the less than upfront nature of his 3-year disclosure marketing plan as an Illuminati cabal agent. One has to wonder if such an oddball assertion won't just look like more deflection from Corey and Company. Good's cosmic disclosure partner, David Wilcock, has ignored calls to make a statement in support of Corey and his story. Perhaps Wilcock realizes the light at the end of that 3-year disclosure plan tunnel is a train full of questions. The examples put forward here by respected researchers, authors, and artists tell us a great deal about Good & Company and the 3-year disclosure marketing plan. Today, we're fortunate enough to have someone who worked closely with Good and his team, and who can shed some light on what went on behind the scenes when Good and his story became more like a product to sell a plastic version of ufology and the secret space program. Let's take a deeper look.
All I can say is they're harvesting ideas for the benefit of the corporation and not giving people any value back.
The Dark Journalist New Age Deep State Special Report, Part 5, Disclosure Inc., The Art of the Steal. Featuring an in-depth, exclusive interview with Ascending Starseed's Annette O'Toole. Now, let's go join Dark Journalist Daniel List.
Annette, it's a great pleasure to have you here. Of course, I've always enjoyed your work at the Ascending Starseed website. It's just a great resource, and I highly recommend it. Now, I guess we should start with how you came to develop the site in the first place.
Well, it was actually inspired late 2009 when I started getting frustrated with my family and friends who, like, didn't believe what I was trying to share with them, with Earth changes, and Illuminati, and, you know, that's when I was into really kind of all the dark stuff and had learned about the super soldiers. And I was really into Project Camelot and, you know, just flying high with them and the work they were doing. And, you know, I just got frustrated with people not wanting to hear me and shutting me out, losing my friends, my family, pulling back. And I wanted a place to archive the information that I was finding in all the little rabbit holes I was going down. So that's how it got started.
And that's ascendingstarseed.wordpress.com. And you post a lot of great things there. And certainly you've put up a lot of material regarding the Secret Space Program that's very informative and helpful. But what brings you into this story is that you attended a conference with Corey Good. Can you tell us about it?
I had been supporting Corey's work. And I do want to add that I started featuring his work on the blog in late 2015.
Okay.
And when he came on the scene, I was like a lot of people. Oh, this guy is my lab. He's programmed, you know. And it took me a good 3 or 4 months of watching, observing, researching. I went on to Project Avalon and saw the conversations that were going on there.
So you ran across Corey Good's account of being in these secret programs, and that was late 2015. And you started to pay attention to what he was putting out there. And, you know, you're kind of getting the information processed. And is it fair to say that at a certain point you warmed up to his story and the message and that you found it interesting and compelling?
Correct. I was also having my own experiences at the time that were kind of aligning with some of the things he was saying.
Okay.
So, yeah, with the research that I did, I didn't find anything alarming or...
Right, so you didn't see anything wrong, but did you have any misgivings at that point?
You know, it was like, okay, so he could be programmed and he believes what he's saying, but there's still programming going on there. But I didn't pick up any deception from him,
right,
that he was aware of. So, yeah, that's why I started supporting that material.
Right, so you had a completely open mind about it. And then you met Corey Good at a conference. Now, which conference was that?
This was the Mount Shasta SSP conference in August.
Okay.
That he held. That was his first appearance without David Wilcock.
Mm-hmm.
So he was solo. And Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Michael Sala also were presenters.
Right. So you briefly met Corey Good at that conference. Now, when did you meet his business partner, Roger Ramsar?
I met Roger actually the first time I spoke to him was August 20th, just text message. As Emma Gold, and I thought I was talking to a female.
Oh, well, with the name Emma, that's understandable. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was having a problem with a guy that, in a full disclosure now, who was like attacking my posts and just being a real jerk.
Right.
And you could tell he was a troll, you know, and I'm like, what is going on? Why are you allowing this guy this behavior? And, you know, I was really surprised with his just acceptance of this guy's behavior. But that was the first time I dealt with him, was through text. And I really didn't start communicating with him until probably November or December, when I started getting more into the conference.
So you got inspired to put together a conference for the year 2017. How did it start to happen?
I started getting the downloads to do a conference with Corey, Laura Eisenhower. The information came through over about a month period of time. But at that point, it was do a conference. My background in the entertainment industry aligns perfectly with this. I mean,
yeah. You have to be able to plan that stuff.
Yeah, I worked for concert promoters. We did concerts for 12,000 people. I can do a conference.
So you decided to do the conference. Now, where was it going to take place?
Mount Shasta, at the same venue.
And it was going to be a Solstice conference.
Solstice conference this year. And I started planning it before I left Mount Shasta.
Okay.
I was there two weekends. On Tuesday after the conference, we drove back down to San Francisco. I called an investor who was a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine at the time, and asked him, he's still a good friend, always has been. But I asked him, the inspiration for the conference, and asked him if he was interested in being an investor and supporting this. He said yes.
Okay.
I went back up to Mount Shasta the next weekend, talked to one of the ladies who was involved with the conference the weekend before to ask if she was willing to assist, you know, so that I would have somebody in Mount Shasta to help me plan this conference.
Right.
So I made a connection with her that weekend. She showed interest and came back to Hawaii and started planning. I had three people come out here in November who were my core team. One of them is Vivian Michelle, who is...
But now she's Corey's assistant.
Corey's assistant. And this occurred to me the other day. When I contacted Corey, I let him know that I had a team of people, including Vivian, who, were going to be my team. You know, they were going to help me organize the conference.
I guess we should point out that Vivian was not yet Corey's assistant. She became his assistant later.
Exactly. And I talked to Roger, one of my first conversations with Roger in December. He asked me who my team members were, and I said Vivian Michelle, and his eyebrow goes up, and he's like, oh. And I knew she was talking to them. And when I talked to Roger, probably 2 or 3 weeks later, maybe the 1st of January, I can't remember the exact time, then he, you know, I became aware that Vivian was working for Corey, and I'm like, and, you know, some kind of off-the-wall comment of, you know, her time may become limited or something like that. And I just felt like I lost a team member.
Right. So she'd gone and was now working with those guys. So in any case, you're developing your Shasta conference and you've lined up the guests that will appear. Corey is one of your speakers and it includes other people there as well. Pretty extensive list. So you're putting in place the groundwork for this conference. And then at a certain point, Roger acts and takes over as Corey's manager and things change a little bit.
Well, this is what happened. I contacted Corey in December and we had... You know, I told him, asked him if he was interested in doing the conference. I also had a second conference that I was targeting for Kauai on November 11th that I wanted to include him in. And, you know, basically the Kauai conference really depended on the success of the Mount Shasta conference because I was going to need more money for investment. I really wanted to do that one on my own.
Yes.
So he had agreed to do
the Solstice Conference. And we had several email communications back and had basically gotten to the point where we were negotiating his fee for speaking on the panel on the last day. We were going to have two panels. And I'm like, okay, so what do you want to speak on the panel? Mm-hmm. At that point, that's when Roger stepped in.
Okay.
And when Roger stepped in, everything went sideways.
Now, we should point out that you were in the final stages with Corey. You'd already set up him speaking and all that, and the fees and all that stuff. And then the only thing left hanging was this appearance on a panel, and that's it.
Exactly. I had the venue holding the date. I had four other speakers lined up, ready to go. I was just waiting on Corey to get that last negotiation point down so I could get contracts out to him and everybody else to get this thing rolling. Mm-hmm. And then that last email disappeared. Roger stepped in. And when Roger stepped in, the story started changing.
How?
They wanted to partner the conference with me.
Okay, so here you are producing your conference, and Corey is one of your speakers. And then they're now saying, well, actually, we want to be your partners, not just guests at your show. So that's a big difference.
It is. It is. There was a very large back end on this conference, so there was a profit motive. Before merchandising, that we were going to also release some copies of the conference early for people who wanted to buy them. Before all of that, the back end was around 90 grand.
So we're talking about a serious, substantial amount of money. Okay, so what happened when they told you they wanted to partner with you? Did it sound attractive to you at the time?
Oh, yeah. And, I've been working in isolation for a long time, for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I had some health issues and all of that.
Yeah.
Back, so I just blogged and quietly did my work and have stayed out of the limelight. For me, it was also an opportunity to work on a team. I like working on teams. This isn't about me. It isn't about the money. I live on very little.
It was something else.
This was an opportunity for me to work with them, and it was sounding very attractive. And so I agreed to do that, and we were all about to hold hands, walk into the sunset, sing Kumbaya, and it was pretty much a done deal. And I've got this in writing. A lot of this is in writing. I forgot to send you the text messages. Mm-hmm. But basically,
well, let's take a moment and recap this. So you had this conference happening with Corey as a featured speaker. Then a little down the road, the tone changed and they wanted to partner with you. So it became more of a business thing. And they wanted to reassure you that it would work out well on your side.
Yeah.
Now, how did it actually go? And how do you feel about it now?
I get a little, this really hurt, when I see what happened here. At that point, basically all the little fine details about this partnership were taken care of except for one thing, my value. And what are you going to pay me to do this? There's a substantial back end. And as soon as I asked for my value for the work that I had put in, it's like he looked at me like I was crazy. Well, mm-hmm. What do you want? Percentage of the back end would be nice. Well, how much do you want? What do you think is fair? And I said, well, 50%. Nah, that's not going to work. Well, make me an offer, Roger. This is a negotiation. It was my vision. I've put 4 months of work into this. Make me an offer. Okay, well, I'll get back with you. And when he came back, Corey had pulled out of the conference. Changed his mind, wanted to take it to LA where he could get 500 people. Because the venue in Mount Shasta would only take 200.
Uh-huh. Well, Well, as I understand it, before that happened, they approached you and said, since we're working together, let's merge our content and contacts together.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell us about that?
Yeah. It was long and drawn out how it happened. At that point, when Corey pulled out, I'm like, okay, I do the conference on my own, got somebody else to headline it, rearranged everything, and there was a lot of work in doing that.
Right.
Okay, and just having to keep it together at that point.
Right, you had a weather reschedule, and finally you moved it to late summer 2017.
And the date I chose was August 5th through the 8th, which is the Lionsgate portal, which is a very, very heavy activation time for star seeds. I thought, perfect. I didn't want to do it on the eclipse because there are problems there. Got it rescheduled. Roger was interested in bringing me aboard their management team. He was impressed with the work that I was doing, and he just wanted to watch.
So now, this is after the first attempt at going into a partnership. And then, you know, in that case, they left, and you had to get the conference going on your own without them. But then here, they come back. Now, what did they say?
We want to bring you on the management team. And I'm paraphrasing here, okay? Everything I'm saying is paraphrasing. So, they asked me if I wanted to come aboard the management team. He had found, and actually I started hearing about this after the Conscious Life Expo, where people started coming up to Corey. And this is what Roger told me, okay? I'm just sharing his story.
Right.
He told me at the Conscious Life Expo, people started approaching Corey, asking him when he was coming back to Mount Shasta. And they started seeing the value in appearing at Mount Shasta again.
Mm-hmm.
And they managed to find somebody there who approached them with a 500-seat auditorium.
Okay.
So he told me at that point that he was going to try to get that auditorium. And if they did the conference this summer, and he was looking at the eclipse, he told me that. He's like, we want to bring you on board our management team and have you manage the conference with our help, of course. I've got that in writing.
Aha. Now, were there any conditions for you coming on board to this team?
Yeah. Once I came on board, he wanted all of my contacts. I had already sent him a conference planner that I had found for Mount Shasta that had venues, caterers, just, you know, a planning directory for people who do events. Had sent him that information, sent him all my contacts and everybody that I had scheduled for the conference. So, yeah, I gave him all my information, just sharing, good team member. And
right. And part of being a team member is they wanted to collect your data.
Exactly. And they had also created a think tank with a platform called Slack, where people can go in and talk and share data and, you know, do it in, I guess, an encrypted forum. I'm not quite sure what Slack is all about. And invited, I don't know, 6 to 8 of us on board to start sharing ideas. And that's all that happened on Slack was, okay, you guys start dumping your ideas there and let us know. No leadership, no conversation, no roundtable discussion where we all got together and talked. And that's kind of what I expected or assumed would happen with something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It really, you know, in hindsight, was just something that it seemed like watching him operate, it just seemed like it was just a way for people to pass on ideas for him to harvest.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's an interesting point. So you feel that that's part of their process.
Well, yeah. And this is what I see going on. And when I saw Derek's testimony the other day, whatever you want to call it, and there's other people I have talked to, it's real apparent that all I can say is they're harvesting ideas for the benefit of the corporation. and not giving people any value back for the energy that's been harvested. This was my intellectual property, and they picked it up and ran with it.
Now, what do you think they were doing?
You know, they're just harvesting ideas for the benefit of the corpse. And that's what a corporation is. It's just a walking zombie. It's a corpse.
Well, you know, I worked in corporate America for a long time, and I agree with you that these are very corporate tactics that you're describing. You know, I'm not seeing a lot of love and light happening here. So these promises of being on the team, how do they seem when you look back at them now?
Looking back now, it just seemed like a way for them to harvest more ideas from people.
Right. It's like, hey, we're partners and share alike. Now, we know where this is heading, but before we get there, did you get the impression that their way of doing business had changed over those 4 months?
It seemed to be what was happening at that point. In December, all of the negotiations I had with Corey were directly with Corey.
Uh-huh. By January, it was a different story.
That's when Roger stepped his foot in and intervened, and that's when everything started going sideways.
Right. And so we did describe this process. You get up to a certain point, and they say, you're helping us manage this conference. But strange thing happened along the way to you managing the conference. What happened?
Well, let's just say at this point, there were a couple things going on. I was really financially strapped. He told me about his wholesale company, you know, said he was offering me a position in sales. I could, you know, that he had retailers here, a list of retailers that wanted to buy his products. And I'm like, okay, I need to make money.
Right.
Yeah. You know? So, I was going to earn money doing this conference, but it would be down the road when the production company was making money.
Okay. Right. So it'll happen off in the future somewhere. So time starts to pass, and what happens?
I didn't really hear anything back. Last I heard was, I think in February, that he was going to work on this auditorium. Not a whole lot was said about that anymore. And my contact with Roger became spotty. He can be very difficult to get a hold of and to nail down. The last thing that I heard from him was that he was trying to get a hold of the guy who worked with the auditorium. And he would let me know when that happened.
Okay.
Okay. Then communication with him got spotty. By mid-April, I was trying to get a hold of him on this job with the wholesale company. And that's when I basically lost contact with him.
So neither he nor Corey are in touch at this point.
And he's not contacting me back. And at one point, he sent me an email in mid-April. Actually, it was a text message on my phone apologizing for being out of touch and don't take it personal.
Huh.
That's when he was booking that auditorium.
Yeah. So Corey and company had essentially cut you out of the loop. They dangled this managing the conference idea, then delay and delay, and finally this text message.
Don't take it personal. And I learned a long time ago, and you know, and I'll be honest, Roger and I hit it off on the level of he came from the music industry and so did I. We had a background there.
Okay.
That's how he could see my talent, because he knows how to a degree the industry works. And he could see that I knew my business.
Right. So they knew you were an asset. So without sizing up their motivations here for a moment, would you say the end results of working with Corey and Company was that they used you for your contacts and your expertise along this conference line and then cut you out before you would have been paid? I mean, is that how it played out?
What I'm saying is this is how it all played out. Mm-hmm. You know, it just reminded me of business practices I've encountered in the music industry.
What kind of business practices?
Shady, unethical, unprofessional. People who take advantage of other people. People who use people to make their shows happen so they can profit. They don't pay the talent. I have a lot of people volunteering to work the shows so they can get in. You know, it's just harvesting people's energetic value is how they work. And it's because they know that people want to be at the show to see their favorite band or maybe get backstage, or, you know, it's just a very shady type. And I went into this eyes wide open with Roger.
How would you describe the way Corey and company worked?
Dishonest. I felt used and taken advantage of. Totally taken advantage of. Unacknowledged and thrown out like garbage. He didn't even, when I heard, you know, the last time I had heard from him was mid-April on Don't Take It Personal. And when I saw the advertisement for their Eclipse of Disclosure conference, I was devastated.
I can appreciate it.
That was my vision. I was promised, you know, after, you know, they denied, you know, they decided they didn't want to be a partner. And Corey pulled out after agreeing. And I even have it in writing from Roger that that was on Corey's schedule. It was on his calendar to do that conference. Sorry, I'm just getting...
No, I can appreciate it. I don't blame you.
I'm very hurt. I trusted these people, and I wanted to be a part of the team. Who wouldn't? You know, especially when you've been working on your own on this little island out in the middle of the ocean. It's like, yeah, I want to be a part of what you're doing. This is cool. I believe in it. And then to feel like my ideas were just harvested up with a dirty wash rag, and then I was thrown out. It hurt when I saw that post. And then I contacted Roger. I knew what was going on at that point. But I contacted him. Hey, stranger, what's up? I saw the post, you know, didn't see. Nothing was mentioned in the think tank with his production crew. You think when that auditorium got booked, he would have set us to work at organizing that conference? Not a word in the think tank.
Well, they had other plans. Now, Annette, at that point, you knew that they were going on their own way. But just to clarify here, did they get in touch with you and say, well, we've made other plans?
No. He didn't answer when I asked him what's going on. I noticed the pre-sale, nothing in Slack. Can I do anything? Nothing. No response from him. And I had sent him a text message on his phone too. Hey, you know, check your Facebook. I sent you a message, you know, wanting to know what's up. Nothing. And at that point, I knew. I'm no dummy. I may trust people more than I should, but I knew exactly what happened at that point. And it took me 2 weeks to really kind of get back on my feet from that blow. I talked to a lawyer. It's borderline, but I do have a borderline case because I've got a lot in writing. I have their intent in writing. But I'm not going to take that route. I follow universal law. Universal law states, do no harm to any sentient kind. It covers a lot. And I know how to hold powerful spiritual courts of equity. So that's what I did. I called in Great Spirit. I called in the Mother Earth. I called in their ancestors and my ancestors to hold a hearing in sacred neutral, in a sacred neutral spiritual court of equity for remedy and resolution.
so that all truth may be revealed and all masks will fall. That's my court. That's the court I'm taking this to, the highest court.
Well, that's definitely the ultimate way to approach this. When you hear about this team now, you know, I've highlighted a number of issues in these reports about them using these Corey's kids to create secret space gear stores and create this promotion and, you know, the using Linda Moulton Howe's name on banners without her permission and things like that. Does that, you know, combined with your experience, do you get a vision for how these people are operating now and how do you feel about it?
It's just unethical, unprofessional business practices all the way around. I don't, you know, in addition to that, I don't see any evidence of daily spiritual hygiene. I see people that are busy taking care of business, trying to make money.
Yeah.
I don't see service to others. I don't see that in the actions from the people who are saying live a life of service to others. I see a lot of service to self going on.
So you feel more like there's a lot of image that's going on here and not a lot of substance.
If you had any idea, you know, what these people's personal lives, what goes on in their personal lives, you would pull your energy back just a little bit. And that's... And I cannot discuss the things that I've seen going on and that I know that are going on because it's considered hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
I sent a letter to Corey about all of this. I can't remember the exact date. It was right after contact in the desert. I think I sent it on the Wednesday after then. Just outlining everything that happened.
And can you tell us about it?
Well, it's kind of what I've gone through here, and I'm considering.
Okay.
I'm also considering giving you a copy of that to post here, just so people have, because I wrote it to tell my story, just in case I got blown off by Corey. You know, just and I sent him a 6,000-word letter document outlining everything.
You documented it.
Yeah, and didn't even get an I'm sorry or what's going on or we'll give you a ticket. Nothing. Nothing. The next morning, I was removed from the full disclosure now 1111 admin team. Roger had blocked me from that page as well as his Emma Gold page or Emma Gold, whatever, had taken me off Skype. Not a word from either one of them.
So they'd gotten what they'd needed from you. They were moving on, and now it was time to block out the memory.
Yep, and I know this has gone on with other people.
You, the first number you quoted when you were working on the conference before you got into real sales was about $90,000. And that was the conservative kind of flat estimate.
Well, to be real honest with you, we were looking at, there was issue between a 200 or 300 capacity. So when it got down to 200, we were looking at 60 to 90 grand. 60 grand is still...
Well, it's a substantial amount of money and the kind of thing, I'm sure, that would make a big difference.
And I just want to state that for me, this was an opportunity to get back on my feet, to stop living like a miser while I live in service to others. I was going to give 10% of that to the Standing Rock organization. I wanted to donate that money to give back. And, you know, it was going to allow me to do the Kauai conference and to have an income for 2 years so that I could continue living in service to others. Now
I'm having to apply for financial aid, which I probably will not be eligible for because they've really cut back on that.
Right.
So it's tough. It's really hard right now, and I'm really struggling when I shouldn't be. I should be in Mount Shasta right now. Well, actually, if it wouldn't have snowed, if it weren't
in a couple of months, yeah.
If it wouldn't have snowed, you know, I would be in Shasta right now planning for that conference, and I would have money. You know, I wouldn't be worrying about how I'm going to make ends meet, how I'm going to get gas in my car. You know, fortunately, I did get food stamps. But I'm still wondering how I'm going to survive until I can regroup, get another conference going, find another investor. I do need that.
Well, there's no question that this situation has messed up your plans in a major way. And I do hope things get a lot better. Your experience with Corey and Company, who you genuinely wanted to work with, sounds very draining and extremely disappointing. Now, if you could take this opportunity, what would you like to tell people viewing this out there about this group?
Get off your knees. I've learned a lot through this. It's not always you did this, you did this, you did this. You know, we all have to take a look at when these situations come up. What needs healing? You know, and so for me, I think I'm getting away from your question, but for me, this is all about healing, okay? And healing the shadow. There are a lot of people. When we look outside ourselves at others to give us the answer or give us the direction, we're not quite hitting the mark. And I see a lot of people looking outside themselves. You know, what's really concerning about this is the cult aspect. And I don't really like using that word. But when I see people posting stuff like, you know, talking about Corey, you are my religion. People that, you know, there's one individual who's had a great deal of respect for my work. We've always been able to work through stuff. He's admin for one of the groups. I tried talking about this to him the other day. And now he's not even speaking to me. I don't see people, you know, we're supposed to be a research community. Even the fans and followers, that's what it's all about.
I absolutely agree. The Secret Space Program is not supposed to be a religion. Neither are UFOs. And when it drifts into a religious cult territory, a blue avian cult, which is what we're seeing here, then it needs to be looked at on a totally different level. So, but what do you see are the dangers of getting involved in something like this for an average person looking for answers?
I think we have to be very careful of how much energy we're investing into things, because I'm starting to see this on certain levels as an energy harvesting operation. It certainly was. It was energy and monetary for me. The energy that was harvested, and I see this going on. I understand what addictive behavior and what that mindset is. And that's what disturbs me. When I start seeing people just believing everything they're hearing and not being objective.
No critical thinking.
No, the critical thinking is going out the window and has gone out the window with a lot of people.
I definitely agree. And from my own observation, this has a lot to do with marketing. You know, we've never had someone be taken seriously without some kind of process, a hypnotic regression or a polygraph, you know, some kind of evidence, radar, other witnesses. You know, this case is really an all-time low in terms of substance. And the Blue Avian cult aspect with the marketing plan, it really, it takes it down to a level that I don't think we've seen ufology be associated with, and especially research around the secret space program. This is about as backward as you can get. Now, in the alternative space around these subjects, yes, there are people who come out with stories. But with zero supporting evidence, that's where it stays. You know, it's just a story. I mean, anyone can tell a story about blue space birds. And there are much better cases than this one with far more substance out there. This is largely a marketing campaign, as we've seen in these New Age Deep State reports. Now, Michael Sala wrote an article this week saying Corey had told him these ETs will basically come with a new religion. So there's your cult. You know, there's no more disputing it. It's a cult. It's admitted right there. So, you know, let's move on from the question of that. This is a blue avian cult. And I want to quote this so everyone's on the same page. Now, Sala said that Good told him that he was given instructions by Ka-Ari, I guess this is one of his space brothers out there, about how contact would happen. Quote, three religious leaders come out and introduce an angelic ET race who bring us a book and a new esoteric New Age type religion based on oneness, unquote. Okay, so that's the end of the cult discussion. It's there in black and white. I don't have to go any further on that. I mean, let's recall that we've had quality people researching this subject, like Professor John Mack and Bud Hopkins, who are no longer with us, but giants in the field that are still with us, like Linda Moulton Howe or Dr. David Jacobs. I mean, it's really, you know, substance versus sci-fi fantasy. And the three-year marketing disclosure plan is just the icing on the cake. And Annette, as we close out our conversation today, I want you to bring it all around here to you and your experience with Corey and Company. You know, you've been following it since 2015. How does it seem to you now?
Into a downward spiral. Right now, what I'm witnessing is a lot of damage control, people losing their focus. And what I've seen going on here is somebody who's gotten involved with somebody who is not taking care of the business in an ethical fashion.
And who is that?
That's Roger. And if he were, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. Mm-hmm. My concern, and at the time I sent Corey the letter, was that he was unaware of what was going on with the unethical business practices. And I had really hoped I would at least get an apology.
Well, he didn't want to deal with it. So what would you like to say to Corey Good?
Corey, this is not an attack. I wouldn't be here if you would have responded. And just from what I've seen about the business and how it operates and the energy that's going on here, you will not survive if you keep Roger. Roger needs to go. Roger needs to find healing, and so do you. And you need to find somebody who can take care of your business in an ethical fashion. I respect you, and I respect what you're trying to do. But I think you've gotten taken way off the sacred course. And that's the only path that I follow is a sacred path. And that includes business.
Yes. And what would you like to say to Roger Ramsar, Corey's business partner?
You need healing. You need healing. Don't kid yourself, Roger. If you, and I don't know, I cannot say whether you realize what's happened to you or not. I've witnessed a very dark energy take over you in the last few months. And I'm not the only one who's seen this. You know, the business aspect, I'm not even going to, I think I've already covered that here.
Sure.
Spiritual side, please get healing and stop lying to yourself and stop lying to everybody else.
Now, you know, the standard technique of Corey and Company, whenever they get into trouble, is to say anyone who points out these facts about the three-year disclosure marketing plan is an Illuminati cabal agent coming to get them. How do you think that looks?
It doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
It's not how I would. I operate under, and thank God I had the grandmother I did, because she pounded this into my head. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I don't understand why I didn't even get, and I'm sorry, let me see what's going on here. Nothing. Just removed.
Right, right.
I'll say I feel like I've been thrown into the Roger bus.
And Corey is driving the bus.
Gets it. And I'm not alone. There's quite a few bodies under that bus.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm here. That's why. If I felt like I was the only one that got screwed, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. This is a problem. And I just hope people just kind of, you know, pull their energy back a little bit and quit calling you dark. And you dark journalist, you might image is everything.
Oh yeah.
You know, I tried to explain that on a post the other day. And this is why I'm talking to you, Daniel. Is because I started following your work in 2013, way back then, and then I covered Henrik Palmgren and Red Eyes Creations, the first SSP conference in 2013. Mm-hmm. You did one in 2014. You know, all of that's on my website. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been following your work for quite a while. You've had Linda Moulton Howe, Catherine Austin Fitz. I mean, come on, dude. She's big time.
Well, I dare not say what she thinks of the 3-year disclosure marketing plan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So I've seen, you know, and that's something also that I've gone, well, okay, there's this whole other aspect to secret space programs. Why isn't it? None of this is being covered over here. None of these people who have spent years doing the research are being included in what's going on over here in this camp. And where is the unity? Where is bringing everybody together? And everybody is being split off into, and that is what I've witnessed. That's the field we're operating in. And the same thing has happened with this organization.
That is very interesting. Well, Annette, you've done a brave thing coming forward, and it wasn't easy to do. But you've brought some truth into this whole situation. And I feel like your experience and insight is powerful. You know, I've always enjoyed your website at ascendingstarseed.wordpress.com. There's great insights there on fascinating subjects. And you coming forward is important because this is your experience with Corey and Company. You know, you were there, and that really counts. Annette, I want to thank you for spending time with us today and telling us what really happened.
And thank you. Thank you, Daniel. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell my story. You know, and people are welcome to contact me through my website. I also have a Patreon page.
And can you tell us again where the website is?
Website, ascendingstarseed.wordpress.com. The name of the blog is 2012.com. Or .com, I'm sorry. I just had a message come up down there. I'm sorry. 2012, The Awakening. And let's see what else. My Patreon page is Ascending Starseed, aka Annette O'Toole. I'm just putting both my names out there. I could really use the support right now.
Absolutely. It's great work. And I think anyone who has the courage to come forward deserves the support of all of us. Thank you so much for being here, Annette. We all appreciate it. And your courage is a great inspiration.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much for your time. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me for this fascinating episode with whistleblower Annette O'Toole of the Ascending Starseed website. You can find all the previous episodes, plus this one, of New Age Deep State at darkjournalist.com. Now we're coming up to episode 6, which was originally to be the end of the series and not even feature Good & Company. But the endless legal threats and intimidation tactics against whistleblowers involved in this case may change that. 6 may become 9. But in the words of the immortal Jimi Hendrix, if 6 turns out to be 9, I don't mind. I don't mind. I'm Dark Journalist. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to seeing you soon.